away fear to go back in there.
From behind us, something got thrown, not at us, it was near us.
It was weird, and it was just that quickly I felt like it was gone.
And we don't know what it was, throwing rocks at us. It felt a little evil to go back that way.
They claim that our eyes were just created a slightly different from what they are. We talk, we see things are not normal.
You're listening to Strange Familiars, true stories of the paranormal, cryptids, hauntings, the occult, mythology, UFOs, folklore, weird and forgotten history. Please make sure to like and subscribe to Strange Familiars on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you are listening. Please share the Strange Familiars page and episodes on Facebook and other social media. If you have experienced something strange, or if you know a story you would like us to cover, email strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, and of course, strangefamiliars.com.
Welcome to episode 19. So we've been hinting about Site 7 for a while now, and Site 7 is a code word because we've realized as we've done the podcast that when we talk about places, people go to those places, which is fine if it's a public area. But this area is private property, and we do have permission to be there. If people start going there and hanging out and being a general nuisance, it is going to become patrolled and policed. If you happen to figure out where it is from the hints we do give when we're talking about it, please don't go. It's an ongoing investigation, and if it starts becoming patrolled and policed and people start asking questions, they're going to tell us that we can't go in there anymore, and that'll be the end of it. I first heard of Site 7 when I was asking my friend Chris if he'd ever been to Toad Road. He would have been growing up in the area in the late 70s and early 80s, so I thought he might have some experiences out there. And he hadn't gone to Toad Road, but we started talking about these other haunted areas, and he told me about Site 7, which is another closed road, much like Toad Road. Here's an interview I did with Chris. Now pay attention to the things he says, in particular about the family of albinos and the stone throwing. I've censored people's names and places which might give away the location of Site 7 in his interview.
And then we've been out there.
Over across the...
It's closed now.
Yeah, they closed it up, and I wonder why. I remember the time it was Carson... foreign exchange student from Nicaragua and myself, it's probably like a Saturday afternoon, and we're heading to the and then we take the road to get there. So we get about halfway and we're always running on E, and all of a sudden we run out of gas. So Carson wants me to go back to the farmer's home that was right in the middle of that lane. So I go back and I knock on the door, terrified, not knowing what's coming out in that dark, nasty looking house that's sitting back there. And out comes an old gentleman, probably in his early 80s. And his fingernails were probably about an inch long. So that scared me right off the back. He looked like something thrashed me one. So I go up to his door. And he comes out. And I said, I ran out of gasoline. Well, he says, I think I got some in the barrel in the back of the barn. Well, first of all, that scared me even going back in the barn with this guy. So he took it back. The barrel was empty. So I was sort of like, So we didn't know what to do. So I said, I'll see you later. And so I took off. So we ran to the store and got gas. We walked to the store and got gas. One instance we remember, I know at the beginning of the year, there was a house. Remember, the big house sort of sits, like when you go down the lane, you'll see a house. Well, that one night we went back, I was with Anthony, and he, I was probably about 16 at the time, and a German Shepherd and a St. Bernard come and attack our car. And there was like five of us in the car. St. Bernard jumps on top of the hood, and the German Shepherds try biting our tires, like literally biting our tires, like to flatten them. So then we go back into the road, and it's just complete darkness. And it just makes you feel like there was somebody up in the woods watching you wherever you want. So yeah, the road was always one of those roads that I always feared to go back. Everybody feared to go back in there.
Didn't you say there was a family of albinos or something?
That's where the dogs came from. They were from the albino family.
It's a whole family.
It was a whole family of albinos.
Wow.
That lived back there. And you rarely ever saw them. I mean, we saw them like once going back there.
Road, or however it's pronounced. Didn't you say there was stories about...
There was supposed to be bums and vagrants living up in the woods.
That would throw rocks?
That would throw rocks at you. And we did have rocks thrown at our cars before up from the woods. And we don't know what it was throwing rocks at us. But that's what the story goes about that road, that there was people living up in the woods, and then at nighttime when the kids go back, they'll throw, you know, rocks at you. But yeah, that was a strange road to go back on. It felt a little evil, you know, to go back that road.
So after Chris told me about the area, James and I started researching it, and we quickly ran into some very interesting things. And we're going to talk about the specifics of everything we found, including our own experiences, and a lot of audio we recorded on site, and we're going to do that in another episode. But briefly, like Toad Road, Site 7 is a closed road. It's surrounded by woods and farmland, high hills and deep valleys. It's a much bigger area than Toad Road, several times the size. The area, the surrounding woods and so forth, has creeks that run through it, and it's close to the river. And as we're digging into it, James happened to take two Bigfoot or Bigfoot-like reports. I guess one of them may or may not have been Bigfoot creatures, but it certainly sounds like it. Both within a mile or two of Site 7, one involved multiple white creatures. Doing some historical research, I found this entire section of the county used to be called Devil's Hole, which, if you pay attention to Bigfoot research and just research in the paranormal in general, things with the name Devil seem to have a certain significance. It's not any longer called this. There is a Devil's Hole in York County now, but it's an old quarry. It's not Site 7. I'm guessing they changed the name of the area from Devil's Hole for the same reason Hallamboro is now Hallam. People get very upset about devil names around here, so I guess that's why they changed it. We found certain landmarks around Site 7, which seem to mark it as a sacred or spiritual ground. And these seem to be modern landmarks, not ancient, but I still found it interesting that we found those markers. We spent multiple days and nights at Site 7, each time something strange seems to happen. And as I stated previously, we really don't know what we're dealing with. It might be ghosts, it might be something else, it might be UFO-type activity. It seems like there is a Bigfoot component, but it also seems like there's something else going on there. If you are enjoying Strange Familiars, please consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Your support helps us make Strange Familiars. $3 a month gets you access to bonus content, including full patron-only shows, and it helps keep Strange Familiars on a regular schedule. There are also different levels of support with additional rewards like t-shirts, vinyl stickers, buttons, and more. This podcast takes a lot of time and money to put together. I knew from the beginning that the podcast model is to give away shows and then ask for support, and that's fine. We've been doing good so far. And thanks so much to all of our current patrons. But if we're going to continue the show on a bi-weekly basis, we need your help. If we get enough support, we'll even take the show to a weekly format. Please consider becoming a patron. You get more Strange Familiars and you help us continue to make the podcast. We've got a lot more stories to tell, and you can help us get them told. Make sure to leave us a nice review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and share Strange Familiars with your friends and family on social media, in appropriate Facebook groups, wherever we can get more listeners. Thanks for listening, thanks for supporting us, and back to the show. So tonight we'll be speaking with Lori and Jeff, and they also had some strange experiences at Site 7. As you'll hear, Lori was actually the first one to get out there, and she and Jeff started experiencing strange things in the area before we got to check it out. This is an interview we recorded at Lori's place outside. We were sitting around her picnic table. Everyone had their cell phones out. I think it was causing interference on the audio. There's background noise. There's sirens in the background. There's trains in the background, but I think the conversation is worth hearing. It was basically a choice between no show this week and run this interview as recorded. So I cleaned it up to the best of my abilities. There's loads of background noise. I'm sorry for that. Sorry for the interference, but I think it's worth hearing the interview. This interview was done by me and James, and James R. You'll hear a little bit on there as well. So there's two James on the tape. James R. was also on the UFO episode. He's been going out and doing some research with James and myself. So you'll hear three of us asking questions, and you'll hear Jeff and Lori as well, of course. We are talking with Lori and Jeff, and Jeff's been on a couple other times. In fact, you were just on the UFO episode. You spoke a little bit about seeing some eye shine. The eye shine you saw is actually in the place we're going to talk about. The mysterious Site 7, mysterious, as we've called it. I think the order of events, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I think Chris had told me about it, the guy who told me the original story and about people throwing stones and stuff. And I told you about it, and I think you beat me there. I think you went up like that night or pretty quickly afterwards.
She beat us.
Okay, so Lori went first. Okay.
I did, and I actually was just, when we were sitting there, I was referencing some notes. Jeff had told me to start taking notes of things that I've experienced or seen because it's hard for me to remember great detail sometimes. But yeah, I had gone down and I took pictures. It was getting dark and just felt a little weird, kind of, you know, hairs on your neck standing up type of stuff, which isn't unusual for me. Took pictures and I sent them to Jeff and I was like, yeah, I stopped. I just, something was telling me I needed to check it out. And he's like quiet. The next thing I know, he's sending pictures back to me with circles. And what's this? Then I started looking more and realizing
yeah, basically I saw eye eyes.
Yeah.
That was the eye shine.
On the first picture she sent me, I could see the house LEDs. But then down where there was no houses and stuff, I saw what was a set of eyes to me.
Right. Now, there is a house at the entrance to this place, but there are not houses down in the direction from which you photographed the
right,
eye shine.
I knew where the house is, and I could see the house in the picture, but where I saw what looked like two eyes was nowhere near the house.
And you sent me pictures after that that seemed to show several sets. Was that you, or was that, or did you take those photos?
I saw them while I was taking the pictures. That's right. What I like backed up against the Jeep, and it took my breath because I normally wouldn't see them like that.
Right.
It's usually after you take the picture and look at them, you know, but I
so
saw
this
them.
Is that first night you went up,
yes.
You saw orbs.
Yes.
And I saw, that's when I saw in one of her pictures a pair of eyes.
So when you were up there, like, you said you had a feeling while you were there. Like, could you get into that a little bit? Like, what you were feeling while you were there? Like,
well, it definitely, and it's usually kind of similar when I do get any kind of a weird feeling. I'm usually, you know, like the goosebumps, you know, all over, definitely on my neck. That particular night when I saw the orbs as I was taking the picture, it, like, took my breath. So that freaked me out. But I had to, I just, you know, he's always telling me just to try to calm down and, you know, hang out instead of, like, flipping and leaving. Sometimes it's almost like a... just uncomfortable in my own skin, that feeling that there's something else there.
No, I mean, we definitely had similar feelings on other occasions at that place as well.
The orbs, were they close or in the trees or?
Well, after looking at the pictures, to me it looked like it was in that dead end. I pulled in, got out of my Jeep, and it was dark. So, but the ones actually, as I was taking the picture, I saw them going by, like, just as close as what he is to me, you know, a few feet away from me, and that's what threw me back against the Jeep. And it,
white colored,
yeah, like a lighter whitish gray. Yeah.
Now, initially when with the orbs, you didn't see them with your eyes, you saw them in the photos, and then you were able to see them eventually.
I saw the one picture that I took in particular, I saw them moving as I was as I was taking. I don't know if it was because of the flash.
You saw
it
walk through the viewfinder, you could see it.
Yeah, like as I'm taking the picture. Okay. And I don't know if it was the flash then, and I didn't see them until the camera flashed.
Yeah.
But then after that, when we were going through the pictures, I was kind of looking at him while he was at his house looking at him, and we both discovered at the same time, like, do you see those orbs?
Right.
And then I told him about the seeing them up there as I was taking the picture. Just that it was a weird, very weird, eerie feeling.
So then you guys started going up there with some regularity, right? And we kind of see eye shine on the regular when you went up there.
Well, I think she had gone up again on her own and said you saw lights or movement in the woods.
Yeah.
So then I had come down a little bit later on, a couple of days later or whatever, and we went and got dinner, and it got dark, and she took me up there. I didn't see anything, and she pointed to something, and it looked to me like an LED light, and I'm thinking, well, it's just a light. And as I'm watching, it went, and one walked away from the other one and moved. And I'm like, okay, that's not an LED light, that's moving, and I can actually sit there and watch them change from orange to greenish blue to white.
This was in the winter, wasn't it?
I don't know that it was totally winter yet.
It was in February.
Yeah, end of February.
Is that when it was? I don't remember how cold or whatever it was, but
Chris would have told me about the story about the people throwing rocks, with people, the hobos throwing rocks, as he said, or whatever, that no one ever saw. He would have told me about that in January.
Okay.
So,
this would have been... I'll tell you, then ever since that night, anytime we decided to go up there, those lights were there, and we watched them. It's almost like they were in the same positions, like they're watching, they're watch guards or something, the way they're positioned. And I swear I can see them sometimes looking in the direction of the other ones. I've had them in my binoculars. And I can see the little light better, and sometimes they'll just go straight up in the air, and I don't know if they're standing up or what. I've hiked down in there in the daytime, and there's no lights in there.
Yeah, we've been in as well. The only man-made thing we saw was one single game camera.
Yeah.
We're going to tell our story in the next episode,
yeah.
or in another episode. It might not be the next one. But yeah, there's nothing down in there. There's no lights down in there.
No, there's no lights down in there. And I've even heard noises when I see them down there. But I don't know. They're so low sounding. It's real hard to tell what it really is you're hearing.
But low in volume or low in...
Low in volume.
Low in volume.
I got to think that they know I'm standing there. They probably see the headlights as they come in. You know, but they don't seem to be bothered. I've never had anything seem like it was sneaking up on me. Not that it couldn't, but I never had anything sound like it all of a sudden got close. You know, you just sit and watch them, and
And then, like I said, one day we went and hiked in there, and that was an experience.
There's two ways to get into this place. One from the uphill west side, and one is the downhill kind of eastern side. We went in from the east when we went in. You guys just kind of went right in from the west.
Right.
What were your impressions? I know, Lori, you saw something. Do you want to just go through that day?
What we did is we just walked down that road, and then where the road went to a hard right, I went down over into the bottom where there's a little stream running. And we walked that stream for a while, and then I could see they looked like ATV trails, but they were just grass. It didn't look like anything had driven on them in a while. And I kept noticing in certain areas just stuff is falling down, blocking these paths. And they're almost like logging paths, you know what I mean? So we came around, went up to the top, and walked in one of those roads, and decided to go back down into the hollow from that side. There's so many trees and dead logs laying on the ground that if you weren't ducking under one, you were climbing over one. It wasn't easy walking through
there. Which is very much like Toad Road. It's like every 15 to 30 feet or something, there's a tree down.
It's like you can't get through there. You can, but it's not easy.
Right.
She was behind me maybe 10 feet as we were walking down through there, and I had stopped by a log and to turn and see how far she was. And I heard what it sounded like. I jumped something bigger than a deer, and it jumped up and took a couple leaps and was gone. And I turned around to her, and she was closer to this thing, and you said it sounded like someone threw something in there.
Oh, absolutely.
So she got...
Because I smiled. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Where we had just come from to break over that, from behind us, something got thrown... Not at us, it was near us, meant for us to hear it. My instincts told me I jumped something.
Right.
You know, that sound you get. But it sounded awful big to me, and then I couldn't hear it run anymore. So when she said it sounded like someone threw something, that kind of made more sense to me as to why I didn't hear it anymore.
Like something threw something and bounced a couple times or something like that.
Like it bounced and then a roll possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just assumed probably a rock, a decent size. Rock or
there was
maybe
even
a log or something.
Logs up there that were laying around.
But I didn't feel threatened by it. I actually just...
Yeah, she smiled. Like I said, my first instinct was I jumped something, but normally if I jump a deer, I can hear it going away.
Yeah, it'll keep going usually.
This I heard maybe take two or three steps, which could have been the roll, and that was it. I heard nothing else and saw nothing else. And then you saw something a little bit after that.
Well, and I thought you had seen just the top of its head or something, but I saw
a flash. That was it.
I saw
a flash of movement when you say flash, not a flash of light.
No, flash of movement because it was in the day, and I just expected deer saw.
And I hunted for probably 4 or 5 years, so I feel pretty confident knowing if I see a deer.
Right.
And I don't think that it was a deer. I don't know what it was, but I drew a picture of it because I didn't want to forget it while it was fresh in my mind.
I remember you putting that up in a Facebook group, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quadrupedal, whatever you saw. Yeah, I'm going by memory of the drawing. It was very strange looking, if I remember.
It was, and I didn't feel that it had ears or anything like that, and it moved really smoothly. You know, a deer will do a lot of, like, slow movement, but like it's going bobbing its head and watching. If it's running, of course it's up and down.
They bounce and they
this
run.
Was just kind of going. It was like nothing was in its way, and yet where this was at was extremely thick brush. Him or I wouldn't have not gotten through it easily. I mean it was either like really thick stuff like that, or like he said, trees laying down.
Right.
But anyway, it was weird, and then it was just that quickly I felt like it was gone. And I didn't really hear much noise of where it might be going. That was just a very rough sketch of what I saw.
Now, was your impression that this was fur covered, or?
It did look like it had fur, and I would guess it to be maybe, I don't know, between 150 and 200 pound.
It's a pretty big
animal. Yeah, or creature. Yeah. I compare it in my mind to my dog, so that's, I feel like it was probably a little bigger than my dog's. They were 130 pounds.
Where was this in relation to you? Was it in front of you, beside you, to one side?
It was in front of me, and we were on a slight hill.
And it was moving which direction?
It was moving from my left to my right.
Your left to your right. Was it looking towards you or away from you?
I didn't feel like, if it was, it was a quick glance. I don't feel like it was, because most animals would stop and look at you.
Yeah, I'm just asking, like, do you think right. that it knew you were there?
I feel like
Plus,
it did, but I don't
feel
like it...
a little bit in front of her. It might have hurt me, too.
If it did see me, it didn't seem to be bothered or frightened. It may have glanced and kept moving. Okay. Like, no concern at all
that
I was...
it never looked back at you. It went along its way.
Correct.
Cool.
So, if we can describe this, it's a quadrupedal with a head...
It looks like there's, I mean, is it a far cry to say that there's a decent neck to that?
I feel like it did have an elongated, thicker neck. Wasn't like a skinny, yeah.
Right.
The head has no ears on top.
No ears.
Did you see just eye sockets or a nose?
I did. I saw, it was like dark eyes, and then I felt that
The eyes are on the sides.
Correct.
Of the head.
And like a longer...
snout.
Correct, yeah. And I did see the darkness on the end for like a nose. Just didn't see ears. That was what was so weird to me.
The drawing doesn't look like a deer, and it doesn't look like a dog. You know, it's...
To me, at first glance, if I don't have that weight, the idea of what the weight is, it reminds me of something like a mink or like a ferret.
Okay, sort of. Yeah, that kind of
with the way the neck and the head sort of connects to it and the apparent lack of ears.
That's a good description.
But that would be.
But that's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah.
And in my memory, going back to that, is exactly what I thought of, but just big, a lot bigger, but very similar. Going back to, listening to what you had said about people, and I keep hearing this, like the white or light in color objects that people are seeing. Do you remember the one time I went down there in my Jeep, and I know it was after that first initial time. I know I had gotten out of the Jeep, but it was I think when I took that apple down.
Okay.
And I put it on the gate, and it was dark, and I... got a weird feeling again, just kind of an eerie feeling, so I thought, I'm just going to go sit in the Jeep. And I had the windows down, and I felt more comfortable there, just kind of hanging out. Didn't really see anything, nothing weird going on, and I was getting ready to go. And as I'm turning the Jeep on, and I'm putting it in reverse, I swear to God, I saw something in that grayish, light color run from, if I would pull straight into the dead end, it was from my right to my left. I looked and there was nothing there. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was my imagination, but I really feel that I saw something, and I got out of there.
And this was at night?
Yes.
In other words, your reverse lights lit it up.
Yes.
You could see it in your rearview mirror.
And I'm sure it was, obviously it was one. I don't know if it could have been two, whatever it was together, but it was so fast. Honestly, not to get into alien stuff, because I know that's not what this episode is about.
Well, we don't know.
I know, I definitely...
The thing is, we don't know what we're dealing with back there. I mean, we think there might be a Bigfoot component, but I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's
all of it.
Yeah.
There's weird stuff back there, so...
That's what I've initially thought, and I think that's why it freaked me out, was because we've talked a lot about the grays, and I'm learning a lot about, you know... all of that activity, but I feel that was definitely something that did not have fur, and I don't feel that it was a Bigfoot but I don't know what it was, and my head and my gut were telling me to get out of there, so
but
I did.
gray white,
yes.
Kind of color, yeah. That confirms with so much. Again, we'll get into our experiences next time, but that confirms with what we've seen back there. So have you been back? You went back quite a few times, right? Like just up to the area.
Yeah. The only reason I haven't been back is because all the leaves on the trees. I figure I can't see down into the woods.
Yeah.
It's weird, when I do see these lights, I have to say, I don't ever see two of them together. And I always just wrote that off to the distance.
Mm-hmm.
The far enough away that it just looks like one.
And you said they change colors, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they've definitely gone from orange to white. And then they'll go out like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
And then they'll come back on.
Have you considered the possibility that maybe it's not eyeshine? It's just something else? Something else weird?
Something else.
Could be, yeah, something else weird, different. For sure. I know I've seen three different sets at the same time. And I've watched one walk away or move away from the other one.
Yeah. But a single. So in other words, you're not seeing pairs.
I don't see pairs, but I just...
But like they're far enough away.
I thought maybe that's because they're so far away.
Right.
It just looks like
one light. I mean, and there are, you know, you're looking through branches, you're looking through
foliage.
Even in the winter, there's stuff, you know, hanging down and so forth. You might only be seeing one of two. I'm not saying it's not eyeshine. I'm just saying the more I go back there, the weirder that place gets, and I think there's...
Well, it reminded me of when I was in Illinois and I saw eyeshine there, and I saw both eyes shine, and it reminded me of the same thing.
It had the same look.
Yeah. But,
okay, so you've seen eyeshine before, and
it
looks similar to that. Okay.
That's the first thing that came to my head. It's definitely not moon reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things are bright.
It almost appeared like there was communication going on, because him and I sat there for at least an hour the first time, and it was overwhelming, the excitement that I had, because I had never seen anything yet, and it was as if they were just like a couple, you know, three people, whatever, but would sit and talk, and your eye contact here or there, and then up and down, or... You know,
it reminds me of an army or someone. You know, if this is platoon sleeping, they got a couple out in the perimeters watching. It's just sort of reminding me of the one in the middle. He'd look this way and his eyes would get green, and then that one over there would get green.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd look away and they'd go kind of orange or white. And then he'd look behind at the one over here and the same thing would happen. It's almost like they were keeping in touch with each other, and it could be they knew we were sitting there.
Well, yeah.
Heard us pull in, and...
Whatever's happening, it does seem to react to our presence.
Yeah, for sure.
And you haven't been up since the leaves have been off the trees, right?
Yeah. Not yet.
Well, you'll have an experience, because unless they totally left, I'm telling you, we would go up there any random time. The only time we didn't see them was when it was rainy and foggy.
Right.
I don't know, they could have been there and you just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But anytime we'd go up and the leaves were on the trees, and any time of night, usually after 9 or 10, it wasn't that late, we'd always see them. And they'd always be, it seemed, in the same coordinate. It's weird. And that's why I thought when we hiked back in there in the day, since they are like in the same spots, I surely was going to find out what this was, but... There's nothing in
it's
there.
It's not giving away too much to say that we've had experiences there with rain. Like right after the rain, there's still dampness, there's a lot of moisture, which does something to kind of mess around with your sense of sound and what you're hearing around you. But we had seen some things in those weather conditions.
I think the fog just would keep me from seeing far enough into the woods.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that matters to them if it's foggy or rainy. But you can probably get around pretty stealth in those conditions.
Well, and you're also talking about, like, you know, a substantial amount of woods on either side of this path.
Right.
You know, there's definitely something about that path. Like, the first night that I had taken a look at it, it was... And there's a lot of stuff that seems to be, like, just placed on it, you know, almost like purposeful obstacles.
That whole hill, I was telling her, I'm like, it's like this whole hill, they have all these trees down, so that if they are chasing a deer or something, That deer's going to have a tough time getting through there.
I think it's about, like, keeping ATVs out, honestly. I think they don't
Well, on those trails, I believe that. But when we headed back down into the hollow and it was just woods with trees down, that reminded me of slowing whatever wants to come through there down, whether it's another animal or... But definitely the trails up on top. You know, they do end up leading out to houses eventually, those trails. And most of them at some point had stuff across them that I'm going to sit and tell you it was Bigfoot, but it could have been anything.
Well,
it,
you know.
Just the way I saw the stuff laying and leaning there, it seemed like it was purposeful.
Well, and when you hear tales of things throwing stones, you know, from the woods
at people,
you know.
And not being able to see what is throwing the stones.
Yeah, no one ever sees the hobos throwing the stones. They're just, you know.
And this thing wasn't thrown to hit us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they were that bad of a thrower.
Right.
It definitely wasn't thrown to hit us. And I'll tell you what's weird. 5 minutes after that thing got thrown, I was in visibility with my vehicle, and I looked out at it, and that's when there was a guy writing my phone number and stuff down. And it had to be about 5 minutes after this thing got... I looked at her and said, I wonder if the knew he was coming. You know, and did that to kind of push me out a little bit to where I could see my vehicle. Just, it was weird.
Yeah, yeah, like to get your attention, like, hey, somebody's messing with your...
And then I told her, let's get out of here, because the guy left, and... Me trying to get to my vehicle on this hillside was not easy because of all those trees being down. I'm telling you, I was climbing them and ducking under them. And
when we were there last, we had definitely a lot of opposition.
I have a random question for you guys. Have you taken your dogs back into this area? And if so, have they had any reaction?
No, I don't think we took the dogs there.
No. My dogs, I don't usually take out.
Just this and that. The blue healer goes along. And
yeah, I don't take my dogs out. The Mastiffs aren't usually... I'd get them for a little while walking, and then my female I know would lay down. She'd be done. And my male would just... He'd destroy everything.
But you never took him up to Site 7?
No,
up there.
I think if I knew there was a very active spot, I wouldn't take him.
That's probably wise. All right, well... Lori and Jeff, thank you very much. I know we're going to be talking to you guys again, but thanks for this and happy hunting.
Thanks, guys.
Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, art, books, podcasts, and more. DarkHollerArts.com. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more.
Your head, though you your skin is lean. Your blood runs red.
These three be our Trinity.